Ricky was going to take my pulpit from me. All right. I didn't need much introductory music or applause or anything. It's just great to be here. Happy Father's Day. And so we're going to start like this. Is it possible that you walked in here today because God has something for you? You know, it's fun for me to sit and worship, and you'll notice, maybe you don't even care. I'm thinking everybody's watching me, but sometimes I'm standing, sometimes I'm sitting. What I'm doing is I'm trying to prepare my heart. I'm trying to bring Jesus into my life. And as Ricky and the band, thank you guys so much for leading us to that spot, because it is a very real possibility that you did not walk in here by accident, that there is something happening in your life that he wants to speak to. So we're going to start like this. Why don't you just take 1 minute? Just say, God, would you speak to me today? God, I need a word from you. Maybe it's in your marriage or with a kid. Maybe that you may have a child that's far from God. Maybe there's a life situation that you're going through. It's just consuming you. Let's just give that to him right now, okay? Why don't you take a minute? 1 minute. In the quietness of your own heart. Lord Jesus, I pray you be here. I thank you for my friends. Shoot, 6 months ago, I'd never met any of them. And there are so many people that care for me. And we've developed a relationship. And it's all because of you. Lord God, I want to pray into their lives right now. That financial burden, I pray, God, that you would just help them to give that up. That relationship issue, that work issue, health issue. God, I pray you'd speak to each of us wherever we're at in this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. On March 10th, 2017, Robert Kelly made social media history. And he thought that he was just doing a BBC interview, a really serious BBC interview. And then this happened.
Scandals happen all the time. The question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region. Do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do. Pardon me. My apologies.
What is this going to mean for the region?
My apologies. South Korea's policy choices on North Korea have been severely limited in the last 6 months to a year.
In that moment, Robert Kelly is thinking, I have just done my last BBC interview. And nothing could be farther from the truth. In that moment, from that day, he was viral. It hit Twitter, and it was everywhere. 6 million views on YouTube that day. In 2017, he was one of the top 10 videos on YouTube that moment. Later, he was interviewed about it. Years later, he was asked about it. He addressed two reoccurring accusations. Number one, you staged the whole thing to get famous. And he writes this, good grief, please stop sending me your BBC dad truther emails. I can't imagine how one could stage something like this. It is genuinely the comedy of errors you see in the vid. Second question, you didn't stand up to take care of your kids because you weren't wearing pants. And he writes, I have no dignity left. I remain seated because the show must go on. I've done enough TV by then to know that. That moment established Robert Kelly's legacy. And it wasn't as a newscaster. It was as a parent. And there's a moment, if you watch that video, and you will have to rewatch that video, won't you, when you go home? When you watch that video again, there's a moment when a smile comes across his face. And maybe I'm misinterpreting this, but in that moment, what it is saying to me is that my children are more valuable than an interruption. What if I were to tell you today that your legacy and my legacy are made in interrupted space? Now, if you're anything like me, that can sound a little annoying because I don't know that it's who I am. It's Father's Day. Is this what dads are known for? Being interrupted? Don't bother dad. He's watching the game. Don't bother dad. He's working on the car. Don't bother dad. He's writing a message on interruption. And yet, as I look into scripture, legacy and interruption go hand in hand. At least they did with Jesus. If you have a Bible, open it up to Matthew 9. These verses are actually not in the outline. I'm just going to read them to you. So I want you to sit and listen and take yourself into this moment. And I want you to focus on the interruptions that happened to Jesus in one chapter. Okay? It starts like this. Jesus stepped into a boat. He crossed over. He came to his own town. And some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, go home." The man got up and went home. Okay, let me stop just for a second, not talk about interruptions. Why did Jesus say, your sins are forgiven? I mean, Jesus could have done anything. He said, just get up, go. He could have waved his hands over us. He could have done anything, and that guy would have been healed. Why did he say that? Here's why. The number one reason Jesus came to earth is so that your sins could be forgiven. And I looked through the book. Who did he forgive? Man, he forgave murderers and thieves and prostitutes and Raider fans. I mean, over and over. Like the worst of the worst. Why do we need to know that? Let me give you one reason. Is there something in your own life that you can't forgive yourself? And if you can't forgive yourself for that thing, I have to tell you, this is not from Jesus. Because the very reason, the number one reason Jesus came down to this planet is so you could be forgiven. And you don't have to carry that anymore. Well, Jesus just gets off the boat, right? And there's these dudes, they're carrying a paralyzed man. Interruption. Okay? First interruption. Verse 10. When Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Who invited them? Nobody. They must have been having tri-tip. It's an interruption to his party, right? Am I misreading that? Verse 18. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and he knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and went with him and so did his disciples. Okay, that's important. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus is literally going to a girl who has died. What could possibly be more important than that? And yet he, in the middle of that, he's interrupted. So Jesus turned and he saw her. He said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd of the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. Girl's not dead, but she's asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put aside, he went in and he took the girl by the hand and she got up. Sorry about the clicking. You'll have to deal with it. I'm being interrupted by my microphone. It's annoying me. Verse 27. This is one chapter. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Verse 32. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon had driven out, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." Okay, verse 35. It closes out the chapter. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. That last verse tells us that this wasn't just a interruption. This wasn't just a day of interruption. This was a lifetime. This isn't just a handful of people who interrupted. This is hundreds, thousands of people. In Matthew 9, we have no idea where he's going. We don't know. It doesn't tell us, and Jesus was on his way to his mom's house because she made a pie. All we know is that in every step that he took, he was interrupted. And he was great at it. How are you at interruptions? How do you respond? Man, just the word interruption is annoying. Interruption is a delay in our progress, isn't it? I was with a group of friends and I asked them, okay, what's the statement that is made that is the interruption? You're going from A to B. Your calendar's in order. Your schedule's all worked out. What is the phrase? And this is what I got. "Dad, the Wi-Fi's not working." I get that one. Like, how did I become the IT person in our house? I'm 61, for goodness sake. What do I know? How about this? "Mom, where's my," and fill in the blank. Anyone? It's always mom, right? Designated finder. "This is Modesto Elementary. Is Mr. Hildebrand there?" That will interrupt your day. "Dad, there's a light flashing on my dashboard." Another person said this. "This is American Express. Can we verify these charges?" That happened to me once. It was $1,200 of Justin Bieber tickets. I was offended on so many levels. How about this interruption? "Mom, I don't feel good." It's better than this one. "Mom, I threw up in my bed." And then there's the other interruption that somebody added. "Honey, are you going to sleep through all this?" I remember one time I was working in my office and I got a call from my wife. She said, "Honey, there's a lizard in the house." I mean, it's like Godzilla was in the house. This is a lizard. So I went home. And it was her, my daughter Sterling, and my daughter Daphne, and they're all, there was a lizard there, and they couldn't find it. It was gone. They didn't know where it was. So they said, "Can you find it? You got to get rid of it. We can't go on. Life cannot happen anymore until you find this lizard." So I looked around, and I couldn't find it. And then my daughter Sterling got up, put on her jacket, and the lizard came out from her jacket. That was awesome. You were going from here to there. Your schedule was set. Then the email came. Then the phone rings. Then the text dings. Then the child whines. Then the husband whines. And you've been interrupted. And I will tell you, too often, my response is a groan, an eye roll, and a huffy breath. How can you and I create a legacy in introduction and in interruption? How is it possible for us to do that? Well, let me tell you, if you value the people around you, this is how your legacy will be made. Because this is how Jesus' legacy was made. Matthew 9, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over to the other town. Some men brought him to a paralyzed man, lying on a mat. Interruption. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came. Interruption. While he was saying this, the synagogue leader said, "My daughter has died." Interruption. As Jesus went on, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us." Interruption. While they're going out, a man who was demon-possessed. Interruption. That'd be a crazy interruption. Jesus went through all the towns, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news, healing every disease and sickness. Interruption, 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 interruption. Look, if you look at the life of Jesus, this is how his reputation is made. Jesus is considered one of the most compassionate, loving person to ever live, but he does not make that reputation during his sermons. He made that reputation in interrupted space. And I think that's going to be our legacy. And that scares me. If that's our legacy, we're up a creek. And that creek has a name. Listen, you and I are going to walk through this together because this is not necessarily my strong suit, being interrupted, facing delay. On my way here to visit you lovely people, I took a flight. This particular flight was in San Francisco, and it boarded. I was sitting on the plane at 11:40, and the plane did not move for 3 hours. And I was in the back seat, in the window seat, but on Frontier, the back window seat doesn't have a window. And everybody that came back said, "Oh man, it's so hot." No kidding. 3 hours. Listen, this is our lives. How are we going to get good at this? Let's do this together. As I looked at Jesus' life, there are four characteristics that I saw of an interruptible person, somebody who makes a legacy by being interrupted. And the first one is this. Interruptible people have a different view of success. Would you consider Jesus a success? Jesus had a 3-year ministry on this earth. And today, more drunks have become sober in his name. More homeless people have been fed in his name. There are more hospitals built in his name. There are more people whose families have been changed in his name. More people who found their purpose in his name than any other name. Any other 100 names. He is the most successful human being in the history of the world. He only had 3 years to establish this reputation, and he managed to be interruptible. That's not what our view of success is in our world, at least according to Hallmark movies. If you got a successful person in a Hallmark movie, it's, "Mrs. Gamblegard, I'm going to my office. No calls, no interruptions," right? And that person walks straight to their office. They pick up the phone, straight to voicemail, straight to the trash. Everything is straight if you're a success. That's not Jesus. Look with me. I've got a couple maps I'm going to throw up here. This is where this is Jesus, beginning of Jesus. Where's he going? He's just wandering free. Next one. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. Well, not directly. Okay. Next one, look at this. Is Jesus blindfolded? Look, he just seemed to wander around. Because A to B was never important. I mean, I believe that there's one time it says that Jesus had to go to Jerusalem, and this is because he had to die. He had to get there. But other than that, I don't see a pattern. He's allowing himself to be interruptible. To him, success wasn't the to-do list. It wasn't the accomplishment. It was the people that he connected with along the journey. Bob Goff put it like this: I may not be the smartest person in the room, but I will be the most available. What would happen if we were people like that? Okay, second, interruptible people have a high value on the people around them. Let's think about that for a second. Who are the people that you allow to interrupt you? They got to be important people to you. So at my old office, I had two doors. And if I wasn't there and both doors were open, it was the fastest way to get to the kitchen. But if I was there and I had the doors closed, everybody knew to not bother me, right? Especially Thursday morning. On Thursday morning, I was getting my message done. And I used to joke that the Holy Spirit can't speak to me after Thursday afternoon because I had to get it done. Had, you know, secretaries need stuff. Media people need stuff. I got to have it all done. I got to be done by noon just to respect everybody around me. So I would have the doors closed. And if you walked in and somebody wanted to see me, my assistant would say, Jack's busy right now. He's writing his message. And everybody would honor that. With the possible exception of one person, you know who that was? My wife. Like if she walked in and my assistant says, hey, Jack's working on his message. He doesn't want to be interrupted. This is what her response would be. Oh yeah, we'll see about that. Even if she didn't need me, she used it as a throughway just cause. And she was allowed. Why was she allowed? Valuable. Look, Jesus seemed to value everyone. I mean, what do we know about him? Just from this passage, demon-possessed. Tax collectors, you know, IRS people. Man, it's really active phone day today, isn't it? Did you guys do that because I was speaking on interruption? Just silence them. Well, they'll turn them all on. Let's just have fun. Other people that Jesus, prostitutes? Jesus took time to stop for all these. Do you know that people who were infirmed in those days were considered to be people on the outs with God, that the reason why you were blind or deaf or lame, it was because God had abandoned you. So these people were dregs, right? And Jesus was allowed himself to be interrupted by all of them. And my thought is maybe we have to raise the value of people if we're going to be interruptible. Maybe it's not just your wife and your kids. Maybe there just needs to be more people that value has been raised if we're going to allow ourselves to be bumped into and stop. Okay, three. Interruptible people are in the moment. Can I borrow your phone? Interesting, right? Interruptions. You talk about interruptions. Here's our winner. Am I right? Let me give you two scenarios. You're hanging out with a friend. You're at Starbucks. You're with them. You're in a conversation. Phone rings. And that other person does this. They look at their phone. They silence it and they put it down. What just happened to your value? Second scenario, phone rings. You know what? I got to take this. And off they go. What happened to your value in that moment? You know, we have never had more things to interrupt us. Phones and emails and computers and TVs. And all of those do one thing. They keep us out of the moment. And what made Jesus so interruptible was that he was there in that moment. Even if he knew he was on his way to raise a dead girl to life, he was in that moment. Okay, I've got one more. interruptible people have margin in their lives. We just did a series about margin, right? I don't want to take forever to talk about margin. But what would happen to your life if you just made one decision? I've got some place to go. I'm going to show up a little early, and I'm going to leave a little late. What if you did that? I'm just going to show up a little early. Maybe somebody needs me. Maybe somebody will bump into me. Maybe I'll have extra time for that person. I'm going to leave a little late. I'm not going to rush off. I'm not going to plan my schedule so tight. I'm going to leave a little late just in case somebody needs to hear from me and I can be interrupted. I'll tell you, if you keep your eyes open, God is at work everywhere. So my daughter got into a car crash and she totaled her Honda Civic that she paid half for. It was so sad. And the saddest part was I had to go to the impound. And last week I told you a story about being in the impound. The impound is the worst. It's like being in prison, right? Like they treat you terrible. But I had to go to the impound because I had to sign off on this that you can, you know, I was selling the car to somebody and did not want to be there. Well, I pulled in. As I was standing there, a truck pulled in and it had this SUV. I go, wow, whose is that? And a guy right next to me said, that's mine. He said, my wife was driving and somebody hit her head on. So I said, is she okay? He said, actually, she's not. Actually, she has a lot of lacerations on her face. And I could see him start to get emotional. And I told him, well, I want you to know who you bumped into today. I'm a pastor of a church. And if you don't mind, this is always my line. Can I make it awkward and pray for you? So in this room with all these other hoodlums and thieves who also have their car in the impound, I bow my head and I put my hand on this guy's shoulder that I have never met. And we prayed. And when I put my head up, tears were coming down his cheeks. Now, I will tell you that's not always me. It wasn't me on the Frontier flight. But it was me in that moment. And the times when I've made that moment, when I've had the time, when I've kept my eyes up, when I allowed myself to be interruptible, are the times that God shows up. Because that's when our legacy is made. In interruptible moments. So why don't we close like this? Why don't you bow your head? Maybe I give you a moment to do some work with God right now. Maybe as you're sitting there in your chair, you want to say something like this. God, I am not very interruptible. Forgive me for not being interruptible. Then maybe you want to pray something like this. God, help me to keep my eyes up. Help me to be in the moment. Help me to see the people around me that need you in my life. Maybe just take a moment and pray that. Lastly, I want to close like this. as I've given this message, you're thinking, I don't have this relationship with God. If you want that, he made it pretty clear. It doesn't matter what you've done or what sin you have in your past or who you've hurt or what addiction you struggle with, that he came to forgive you so that he could be in relationship with you. If you want that, it begins like this. Say, dear God, forgive me of my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross to forgive me of my sin. I give my life to you today. I want to put you in charge. If you prayed that, that begins a brand new life. We'd love to know about it. And right in front of you is a little card right in the seat pocket. It says, I said yes. Take that, fill that out. We want to get you information that will help you on that journey. Lord Jesus, you are the example. It didn't matter what the person's reputation or what they had done. You allowed yourself to be interruptible and you changed the world. In just one day, blind people saw and lame people walked. Dead people rose. And we can't do any of those, but we can be involved in what you're doing in the world, Lord God. I pray, God, that first with me, and then with my friends, that we would allow ourselves to be interruptible. In your name we pray. Amen.